Hare Krishna, and happy Nirjal Ekadasi to everyone, although by the time devotees hear this, Nirjal Ekadasi will have been over. My apologies, but the time difference didn't allow me to provide a podcast, a fresh podcast yesterday, and I hope that everyone had a nice experience with their Nirjal, dry fasting, chanting Hare Krishna, and it's always a wonderful experience, at least on my part, not to eat, not to drink, and to realize just how much excess we supply or pamper to this body, and how little it can actually do without, with, excuse me. Anyhow, we have some questions here from Tejasri Devidasi in Romania. And she asked the following question: is it true, devotees have told me, that dried out flowers are not auspicious, they attract ghosts? Maybe, I don't know, I've never heard such a thing before, but the next part of her question is, then what about dried flower garlands that they have in the house? And certainly that's not the case with dried flower garlands, because dried flower garlands, Krishna's Mahaprasadam, are purifying. Not only are they purifying, but they're liberating. So if for any reason any ghost would show up to embrace the flower garland, then get, or whatever they do to it, then they'll become liberated from their condition. Uddhavachi says in the 11th canto that just by wearing the remnants of your clothes, wearing your clothes, your used clothes, flower garlands that you wore, eating your Mahaprasadam, we become free from the influence of the modes of material nature, free from all sinful reaction. So that being the case, certainly we would expect that if we have some of the Lord's Mahaprasadam in our homes, then it can only be to the advantage of everyone, ourselves, ghosts, anyone included. Her other question is, she's asking about, I've heard that yogis are able to expand themselves. How many times, into how many forms can they expand themselves? On what planets do they live? Devotees on many different planets within the universe can achieve that siddhi, or having achieved that siddhi, then yogis anywhere can expand themselves into 9 different forms, which are all sort of like carbon copies of each other. All of them move the same way, act the same way. Little strange, but certainly not the way in which Krishna expands himself. For instance, into unlimited forms, practically in a rasa dance, to dance with millions of gopis, or 16,108 forms with his queens in Dwarka. And in all of these forms, Krishna then moves in a different way, talks in a different way, engages in different types of pastimes. That's the difference between the Supreme Lord and ordinary living entities. When Krishna does something, he's not limited. He's Ananta. He's unlimited, so he can't be limited to the laws of yoga. The only thing that Krishna is limited or controlled by are the laws of love. But aside from that, there's no limit to how many forms Krishna expands it. And we see that in Krishna's incarnations as well. Krishna expands into so many incarnations simultaneously, Shinga, Varaha, Ramachandra, the Guna avatars and the Lila avatars and what have you. And they look different, they do different things, they have different things on their mind, they're absorbed in different types of activities and in different ways. They give pleasure to their devotees and rectify demons and establish different types of religious principles. So Krishna is therefore known as Yogeshwara. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partha Damodara. He's not restricted. He's the real yogi. And we may call all these others really just yogi das. They're not real yogis. They can't compare in any way to Krishna's extraordinary feats. And her last question, she says that we have this person who comes to the temple and he doesn't chant, he doesn't offer his obeisances, and some devotees say that he should be asked to leave because he's committing offenses and we're going to get the reaction. What should we do? Well, it's a principle. Ultimately, this is the type of thing that devotees need to work out themselves. But we see that as long as someone is not creating a real disturbance to others, is behaving himself, and even though he doesn't chant, even though he doesn't actively participate, but he's coming. The fact that he's coming is already something special because there are so many other people who aren't coming. And by coming, by hearing, by taking prasadam, gradually he'll come to the stage of bowing down, offering obeisances, chanting himself, and so on. So, as a general principle, unless there's really circumstances demand it, then there may not be any harm. But it's something for the devotees there to actually really determine according to the individual and the local circumstances. I can just say what the overall circumstances are. And that's it here from Toronto, where it's rainy and cold and the rain's pouring down. Be in touch again tomorrow and continue our podcast with everybody then. Hare Krishna.